Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And our text today consists of two verses. Mark 11, verses 3 and 4. The Lord said to the two disciples whom he sent into a village, "If any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door," another door in the Bible, "tied by the door, without in a place where two ways meet, and they loose him." It's my subject this morning. God has need of you. God has need of you. For the person who doubts or denies the omniscience of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they ought to study the incident that we just read about here in Mark chapter 11. When we say omniscience, we refer to knowing all things. The Lord Jesus sent two of his disciples to a village, telling them what they would find at the entrance to that village. Look at verse 2. He said unto them, "Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him." And so there you have the Lord telling two of his disciples to go into the village. And he told them, when you enter that village, you'll find a colt. He also told them that colt is tied. And he told them exactly where he would find them, to find that colt, and he was to bring that colt to him. We see the Lord in describing what they would see in such detail, as if the whole transaction had been previously arranged. Of course, it was all providential. The Lord had arranged it all because he knows all things. Again, we see another example of the Lord's knowledge of events. Just go over to Mark chapter 14. Mark 14 and verse 13. Here again is the Lord describing an event in detail to the disciples. Verse 13, Mark 14. "He sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him." And think of that. You will meet a man at that exact time, and the Lord says that man will be bearing a pitcher of water. And the Lord says, "Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." The Lord wanted to eat the Passover with his disciples. And this was the way the Lord told his disciples where they would find the house that they were to go into and eat the Passover. And the Lord said, when you go into the village, you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. He'll lead you to the house, and that's the house where we will eat the Passover. The Lord described everything in such amazing detail. You think of it. The disciples met the man with the pitcher of water at exactly that point of time. No doubt there were many others in the street at that same time. Ah, but what would set this man apart? He was bearing a pitcher of water. And the Lord told the disciples, follow him. There is the omniscience of the Lord. You say, well, how did the Lord know that? The Lord knew because he is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is man. He is also God. Two distinct persons and two distinct natures in one person, God forever. And being God, he knows all things. As John tells us, 1 John 3 and verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God knoweth all things. Christ is God. He knows all things. Now, if he knows all things, then he knows everything about us here today. There is nothing in our hearts that can be hidden from God. There is nothing that we do. There is nothing that we say, no matter where it is, can be hidden from the Lord. He knows all things because he is God. You recall, often when the Pharisees and the scribes and the Lord's enemies came against him, they didn't have to say anything. The Lord knew what was in their heart and what they were thinking. He knew what they were thinking. Matthew 9 verse 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? See, the Lord knew the thoughts, and he knew their thoughts were evil against him. They didn't have to say anything. The Lord knew what they were thinking. Just as he knows us today, he knows what we think. He knows what is in our heart. As I said, he knows all about the things that we say, all that we do, because he is God. That's who he is. So it's not surprising that the Lord was able to give these disciples such detailed information about what they would find when they would go into a certain village. And there we are told in the verse 4, and they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door without in the place where the two ways met, and they loosed him. Remember what the Lord said? You tell the man that owns the colt, the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of us, as we will see here this morning. One is first of all to consider the particulars about the colt. The particulars about the colt. The Lord Jesus sought the colt in preparation for his very public entry into Jerusalem. That took place approximately 4 or 5 days before the Lord went to Calvary. And that entrance into Jerusalem had been prophesied many years before. Go over to Mark, Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 21. Here's Matthew's account of the same event. Matthew 21, verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. So the Lord riding upon a colt and upon the ass had been prophesied hundreds of years before. And when the Lord Jesus sat upon that colt and rode into Jerusalem, it was the fulfillment of prophecy. Does this not show us the condescension of Christ? We've just proven that the Lord Jesus is God. And yet here we find the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's riding into Jerusalem in triumph. He doesn't seek out and ride upon a white stallion. He doesn't ride into Jerusalem in a gold carriage or chariot. Think of it. He rode into Jerusalem with a multitude of people seeing him, riding upon the back of a humble, dumb animal like a colt. There's the condescension of the Lord, that the Lord was prepared to do that. And if the Lord was prepared to ride upon the back of a colt into the midst of a multitude of people, then surely he's ready to use any one of us here. The Lord will be pleased to use us to fulfill his purpose. Think of it, if he uses a colt to fulfill his purpose that day when he rode into Jerusalem, he can use any one of us. Want us to notice regarding the particulars about the colt. Notice first of all, there were two animals. We had noted that there in Matthew's Gospel. We just read, just go back again to Matthew's, in the chapter 21. And there in verse 2, the Lord said unto the disciples, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. All right? So Matthew tells us there were two animals that the Lord used that day as he rode into Jerusalem. He evidently rode each animal at different times because he rode on the both of them. We're told that, we read there Matthew reference to the prophecy. That prophecy is found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And there we read, Behold, thy king cometh. Think of it. Thy king cometh. Unto thee is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So he, the Lord, used both animals. This teaches us that whether we are young or older, the Lord can send for us and say to that young person, I have need of you. or say to an older person, I have need of you. Doesn't matter whether we're young or old, God can use us. Didn't we notice some time ago about Anna in the temple? We learned that Anna was over 100 years old. She was over 120 years of age. And what do we mean about her? She departed not from the temple, but, listen, served God with fasting and prayers night and day. A woman over 100 years of age, and the scriptures record she served God. She didn't say, I'm too old to do anything. She served God with fasting and prayers. And you go to the other end of the scale. Who did the Lord use when he fed 5,000 men as well as women and children? Who did he use? He used a young lad. Remember what Andrew said? Andrew said to the Lord, there is a lad here. And there in the hands of the lad were 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now the loaves are nothing like the loaves we get today. But the lad gave those loaves and fishes to Christ, and he used them. So he used a woman of over 100 years of age, and he used a lad. And what he contributed and gave to the Lord, he used both of them. God can use any one of us. Doesn't matter what age we are. We see that. He used the colt, and he used the ass, the mother of the colt. As well as the two, we notice also the colt was tied. The Lord told his disciples, ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Matthew 21 verse 2. Now of course, the two animals could not be used by the Lord to ride into Jerusalem if they remained tied. If the two animals remained tied, but the Lord couldn't use them. The Lord said, loose them, or regarding the colt, you loose the colt and bring it to me. It had to be loose. Likewise, if we're tied to anything that would prevent the Lord using us, then we would need to be loosed from that. What were the disciples doing when the Lord walked along the shores of Galilee one day? They were fishing. They had just come to land. They were mending their nets. And the Lord said, Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they left their nets, and they left their boats, the things that had tied them to fishing. They were set free, and they became fishers of men. They were loosed, and then they were used by the Lord to be fishers of men. Likewise, this colt, the Lord told the disciples to loose the colt and bring it to him. It was no good while it remained tied. The Lord couldn't use it. Neither can the Lord use us while we remain tied to something that prevents the Lord using us. And the Lord said, I have need of you. He can use us. As well as there being two, and as well as them being tied, the Lord gives another detail here. The Lord mentions a type, that is, regarding the colt, the type of colt that the disciples would find and bring to the Lord. Verse 2. Ye shall find a colt tied. Here's the other detail. Whereon never man sat. Again, it shows the Lord knows all things. He knew that this colt had never been broken. We all know that if you don't break a horse, first person on it, it gets thrown off. Well, here was the colt, and the Lord said, whereon never man sat. It may seem strange that the Lord would want to choose and use such an animal as this, for he was to be riding upon it into Jerusalem, but never man sat on. The colt had never been broken before. To allow any man to sit upon it. But then the Lord, of course, was not just any man. He was not any man. We read in verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. The Lord sat upon the colt. The colt didn't throw him off. He rode upon that colt in the Jerusalem, as he rode upon the mother of the colt in the Jerusalem. In other words, the Lord was able to subdue that colt. It didn't throw him off. Reminds us of Paul's words in Philippians 3 and verse 21. He is able, the Lord is, he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So the Lord subdued the colt, that it would not throw the Lord off. But as well as subduing the colt, we see that the colt went wherever the Lord directed it to go, and it was to go into Jerusalem. That tells us that this colt was completely surrendered to the will of the Lord Jesus. You know, we've often heard the phrase, someone is as stubborn as a mule. There's no stubbornness here. The colt allowed Christ to sit upon him. The Lord subdued him. And as well as that, the animal was surrendered to him. There are some, you know, who balk at the will and the words and the ways of the Lord. They say in their heart, well, I'm not going to do that, or I'm not going to do the other thing. And they balk at it. They're not willing to submit themselves to the Lord Jesus, to his will, to his word, or to his ways. Well, the colt submitted to the will and the ways of the Lord. And surely if a dumb animal like a colt can submit to the ways of God, you and I can also. In that messianic psalm, And when we say messianic, we're referring to the psalm and the words are the words of Christ. Messianic Psalm 40. Verse 8, this is what the Lord himself said. The Lord said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. That's the Lord Jesus speaking, and the Lord Jesus says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It's the Lord Jesus. I delight to do thy will, O my God. And the psalmist himself said in Psalm 119, verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. See, if you delight in the word of God, if you delight in the word of God and the commandments of the Lord and the laws of the Lord, then you'll do whatever the Lord asks you to do. So we see the two animals. We notice they were tied. We notice the type of the animal, namely the colt that was never a man sat upon it. And then we notice here the truth. There is a truth here. The Lord told the two disciples what they were to say when challenged about loosing the animals and loosing the colt. Verse 3. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And that was true. The Lord needed the colt. Tell them the Lord hath need of him. Now, of course, there are those who say the Lord doesn't need anybody. Well, in a sense, that's right. Because he's sovereign, he's God. He can do all things without man. But God condescends to use man. He uses means to fulfill his will and purpose. How would the people throughout the world hear the gospel if the Lord didn't say to some man, some woman, I have need of you. I need you to go and preach the gospel. I have need of you. After all, the Lord, the Savior, said that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Yeah, he can do that. God could say to these stones to raise them up children unto Abraham. God can do all things. God can do everything. With God, all things are possible. But at the same time, God needs individuals to do his will, to fulfill his purpose, to carry out his work. God does need. And regarding this colt, and think of it, it was nothing more than a colt. As I said, a dumb animal. And yet the Lord says, I have need of that dumb animal. I want to use that animal. What work, what service does the Lord need us for? What does the Lord want us to render unto him? I have need of you. Well, we could cite many an example of those that the Lord basically said, I have need of you. He basically said that to Jonah. I have need of you, Jonah. Jonah 1 verse 2. Arise, Jonah. Go to Nineveh and cry to the city and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, I have need of you to go to Nineveh and I want you to cry against it. Because the wickedness of the people there have come up against me. That's right, he needed Jonah to go. How else would the wickedness of the people of Nineveh be rebuked and revival come to that place? How? God needed Jonah to go. I have need of you. What did the Lord say to those disciples that he had chosen? God basically said to each one of them, I have need of you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what I need you to do. I have need of you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They were to take the gospel throughout the world. I have need of you. We should pray. Lord, what dost thou need me for? What dost thou need me to do? If he needed and was ready to use a dumb animal, he can use any one of us here. And he says today, I have need of you. It's up to each one then to discern the mind and the will of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? As well as the particulars about the coat, we notice the place and the coat. So in obedience to the Lord's word, the two disciples went to find the colt and bring it to the Lord. And of course, Matthew tells us there was the ass there as well, the mother of the colt. The both of them were to be brought unto him. And the Lord says here in verse 2, loose him and bring him to me. And when they went to that village, they found the colt, and verse 4 tells us the colt was tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. I find it interesting that that little detail is given. The colt could have been tied to a post or to a tree, but the Holy Spirit has included that detail that the colt was tied by a door. There's the place. And there you have, first of all, the significance of the place. The significance of the place. That is very significant that it was tied by a door. Because the one who sent the disciples to fetch that colt, the one who needed the colt, was none other than the door. The Lord Jesus himself. Isn't that what we considered a couple of weeks ago? The Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall be saved. There's no way any man, woman can be saved and enter into the kingdom of heaven except they come by Christ, who is the open door. You don't enter in through that door. You don't enter in through Christ. You don't accept Christ as your Savior. You'll never be in heaven. Never. Christ is the door. And here, the one that gave the order to the two disciples to go and take the colt, and they went, and they found it by a door. In other words, the door, the Lord Jesus sent the disciples and found the colt by a door. How significant is that? And where would this colt bring the Lord? Well, the colt would bring the Lord Jesus into this Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, the city, the Lord would go outside the city wall to a place called Calvary. And there in that hill, low and grey, they would nail the dear Lord Jesus there to the cross. Christ would purchase salvation for the whosoever will. And that day the door to heaven was open through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, the door is still open today. For whosoever will may enter in wide enough to include all comers. But sadly, all will not come. But Christ is the door. And that's where this colt was found, by a door. And it was to be used by the one who said, "I am the door." As well as the significance of the place, we notice also the streets at the place, just at where this door was located. Verse 4 again. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met. They loosed him and they bring the colt to the Lord. Two ways. Think of it. Those two ways met just there at where the door was, where the colt was found. Two ways. As far as the Lord being able to use the colt, to use his animal, and ride into Jerusalem, there was only one way for those disciples to bring that colt. There were two ways, if you like, there were two streets. The disciples better be sure and bring the colt down the right street to where the Lord was, that he could use to ride into Jerusalem. Had they brought the colt down the other street, the other way, the Lord wouldn't have been able to use the colt to ride into Jerusalem. So it was most important that they went the right road, chose the right street to walk down with the colt and bring it to Christ. How typical that is. For every one of us, there's two roads. There's two streets, if you like. And we're talking about salvation. There's only one road. There's only one way into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way." The truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. But when it comes to service, it is the same. There's only one way of service. There are two roads. One road, you can win it, you can name it, wasted years Oh, how many have gone down that road? How many have walked that street of wasted years, never doing anything for God? Never giving a hand in the service of the Lord. Wasted years. Then there's the other road, or the other street. You could call that street usefulness. Usefulness. And surely that's the street we all want to be on. We want to be used of the Lord. No, we don't want to spend our life in wasted years. We want to spend our life in usefulness. Two streets. Two roads. The disciples had to make sure they took this colt the right road, down the right street, where the Lord could use them. I think of the words of the prophet in Isaiah 30 and verse 21. It's an exhortation to take the right way. To go the right way and go the right road in life. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in. This is the way. What is the way? The way of usefulness. The way of service. The way of doing something for God. So we have considered the particulars about the court. And now we considered the place for the court. Finally, let us look at the purpose of the colt. Why did the Lord want it in the first place? Why did the Lord tell the disciples to say to those who owned the animals, tell them, I have need of them. But for what? What did the Lord need the colt for? Well, we see, first of all, that this colt was to be the bearer of Christ. The bearer of Christ. When the disciples brought the colt to the Lord, we are told, verse 7, and he sat upon him. So, the colt would bear Christ into Jerusalem. He wouldn't be walking into Jerusalem, he'd be sitting on the colt. The colt would bear Christ. Or, as we have it in Matthew 21, verse 7, and brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. In other words, get this, it was the disciples who lifted up Christ and set him on the back of the colt. They lifted him up, his feet were no longer upon the earth. They lifted him up and set him upon the back of the colt. And the colt bore the Lord into Jerusalem. Isn't that what the Lord needs us to do? What did the disciples do with the Lord? They lifted him up. Set him on the colt. That's the business of every Christian, to lift up Christ, to lift him up. What did the Lord say in John 12 verse 32? I, if I be lifted up, where? From the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Well, that's what the disciples did. They lifted Christ up from the earth and they set him on the back of the colt. And that's exactly what the Lord wants his people to do. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The Lord wants us to lift up Christ in the eyes of this ungodly world. To lift him up in our conversation with others. To lift him up in our conduct before others. To lift him up in our confession of him to others. Lift up Christ. Always lift him up. Just as Paul has said, Colossians 1 verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He must have the preeminence. As well as the colt being the bearer of Christ, we could see also the colt was the bringer of Christ. The disciples sent the Lord on the colt, and they made their way to Jerusalem. Matthew tells us, Matthew 21 verse 9, tells us there was a multitude of people there. Now the colt was got at a village, so they had to make their way to the city, where people were waiting to see the Lord. Well, there's a wonderful truth there. We said the colt was the bearer of Christ, and the colt was the bringer of Christ. In other words, this poor, dumb animal brought Christ to the people. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, the Lord told his disciples, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what the disciples were. They brought Christ to the people. Just as this colt brought the Lord Jesus to the people. There in Jerusalem. That's what we're about. Bringing Christ to a people. Bringing Christ to a people who don't know him. Bringing Christ to a people who are tottering on the brink of eternity. Bringing Christ to a people who are standing at the edge of a precipice. And tell them about Jesus, the one who is mighty to save. We need to bring Christ to the people. You think of it, the Lord used a colt to do that. If he can use a colt, he can use you and me. What did Paul say? But God had chosen the foolish things. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's who God chose, the foolish. To confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. That's who God is. And just as God, the Lord, used the colt, he could use us. And since God chooses foolish things, weak things, surely we fit in there. He can use us to his glory. This colt was the bearer of Christ. This colt was the bringer of Christ. And we see that this colt brought the Lord to a people who blessed Christ. They blessed him. What happened when the Lord entered the streets of Jerusalem and a multitude of people were there? Well, we read in verse 9. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In other words, as this colt carried the Lord through the streets of Jerusalem, and the people stood at the side of the streets and they sang Hosanna. They praised the Lord. They blessed the Lord. In other words, what did this colt do? It brought glory and honor to the Lord by carrying the dear Savior into the streets of Jerusalem. The people glorified the Lord. Mark something. They didn't say a word about the colt. Oh, they didn't say, oh, it's a beautiful animal. All eyes were on Christ, not the colt. Surely that's the way it ought to be. That when we're in the company of others, people should see Christ in us. As we endeavor to bring Christ to the people, through our witness, our testimony, and our neighbors, that the Lord Jesus would be given all the glory, all the glory. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God hath need of you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh dear Lord, we have heard thy word today. We received thy instruction. And Lord, how it encourages us. That while, Lord, thou would use a dumb animal, like a colt, and thou did use that animal to bring glory to thy name, Lord, use us to bring glory to thy name. May we indeed always lift up the Savior. May we indeed always endeavor to bring the Savior to the people. And may our lives always bring glory to the Lord's great name. Dear Lord, be with us throughout this day. Bless us as we make our way home. Return us, Lord, to thy house this evening. We spend time again around the word. Keep thy hand upon us all for good. As healthy and well. And safe on the highway. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, and until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.